Well, good morning again, everyone. Thank you for being here on this wintry Martin Luther King Jr. weekend. And I'd forgotten to mention earlier that Martin Luther King Monday or day is meant to be a day of service, not just a day of, I'm taking a day off, I'm not working, it's all good. And I didn't realize that until this morning when I was doing some research and realized that it was meant to be and is still meant to be a day of service. So something to consider for the future. So here's a question for you. How many of you know the term woke, as in woke generation? Raise your hands. One. All right. Wonderful. Excellent. One place I was at recently, no one had any idea. So the second question. How many of you consider yourselves as part of the woke generation itself? Okay. Be interesting to ask that question another time when students are here from Allegheny College, because a lot of people, especially millennial and Generation Z people, feel a profound affinity for being woke. That's going to say more about that now. I heard the first person, the term woke, I didn't hear it, I didn't know about it until a couple years ago when I was in Seattle. Someone walked up to me and said, "Are you woke?" And I blinked and I looked baffled and I said, "Do you mean awakened?" And he said, No, it doesn't have anything to do with that. It's about being aware of the injustices of the world and responding to them. And my response was, "Well, I don't think so, but maybe." The person went on to say that a generation of people, especially millennials, are determined to live a new lifestyle based on equality, justice, and especially anti-materialism. But it's not a chronological generation, as we often hear of millennials, Gen X, baby boomers, and so on. It's not a chronological generation. It is a generation of people of all ages, colors, lifestyles, sexual orientation, and so on. Now, when I first heard about this from this person, I thought, well, that sounds a little bit arrogant. And then I thought, wait a minute, I'm 70 now, I'm a baby boomer. Well, we were and are still very passionate about justice and equality and changing the rules especially, so I don't think arrogance is probably the right word. So I wondered, though, after that conversation, whether the term woke and awakened, which is what I would see it more as, had more in common than what that person believed. So how are they similar and different? And more importantly, how do they affect us today as Unitarian Universalists? So that's going to be the theme this morning, and we'll have a little bit of time, hopefully, for a meditation. First, more about being woke. The term woke comes from Black American usage. The late soul singer Lead Belly used the term in a 1938 song, and I quote, "I advise everybody to be a little careful when they go along through there. Stay woke. Keep their eyes open." The contemporary singer Erykah Badu used the term "I stay woke" in a song from 2008 in the album she did called New America Part One. She later referred to the phrase this way, "Truth requires no belief. Stay woke. Watch closely. Pay attention." Later on, Black Lives Matter exemplified the theme of being woke. There's a 2016 documentary, which maybe some of you have seen, called Stay Woke, the Black Lives Matter Movement. And the documentary begins with the shooting of Trayvon Martin by George Zimmerman in 2012, which we probably remember. And then it follows the growth of Black Lives Matter through all the too numerous tragedies and violence against black and brown people in this country. So it's a little bit about where woke came from. And it has now become more disseminated into the culture at large. What about awakening? We hear the term a lot in self-help books and classes. And one way that it's been described theologically, if you will, especially in Eastern traditions, is coming out of a deep sleep and waking up and experiencing the world around us in full color and image and sound and taste without any filters. Reverend Angel Kyoto Williams said in an interview that awakening was different than woke because awakening can happen gradually, it can happen suddenly, and it's a way of just globally, holistically, understanding and being in the world in a more awakened way. She said that meditation and prayer can help us help ourselves to have a greater awareness of things around us. So they can be very different awakening experiences. Now, one time, and this was after I had moved here, I was driving up to Erie on, I think it was 19, and there was a curve in the road, and I was admiring the scenery because it was autumn. And I went around the curve, and all of a sudden, right in front of me, probably three car lengths away, was a deer standing right in the middle of the road. That was an awakening experience. I was able to stop in time. The deer went in one direction and I went in the other, and it was all good. But that moment of intense awareness and what do I do right now is an example of awakening. Fortunately, it turned out okay. Another form of awakening I remembered this morning as I was driving over here. And I don't know if any of you had this experience earlier in your life, or maybe with children or grandchildren. Some of you know that I grew up in Maine on a farm, and the people that brought me up, who I call foster parents, but they were more legal guardians. One of the things that they told me that they loved so much about me as a child was that I was very attentive to things around me. And there were some reasons for that, but it's not important now. But the one thing that I remembered was outside the house, the farmhouse, we had a bird feeder. And it wasn't like the fancy ones now. It basically had a lower bowl, basically, and then there were some catches to it and a larger one above, and you put bread and suet and so on it for the birds to come and use in the winter. Well, what I would do is I would go out there all bundled up in the snow, and I'd have a piece of bread. And I would stand there absolutely still by the bird feeding station and wait. And within a period of time, I don't know how long, chickadees would come and wrens would come and other birds, and I would stay there absolutely still, and they would get on the bread, they would sometimes get on my arms. And what my foster parents said was how still I was. And that for me, and I still remember it, was a form of awakening, of presence, of being right there with those little creatures and helping to feed them for the winter. And I swear, even now, and I tried to do this morning and I wasn't quite able to do it, I can almost remember the sound of the snow coming down. It was that subtle. It was that quiet. It was that aware. So that's another type of awakening which we may have had in our lives. Awakening is a state of mind. It arises often out of stillness, So we become present, even for a moment, with everything around us. And it's not drastic and dramatic, like, oh, there's a deer in the road right in front of me, I've got to put on the brakes. It's softer. It comes into us softly. That's the only way I can describe it. So, awakening and woke. What's the difference? Well, I don't think there is a lot of difference, except that woke is a component of awakening. Awakening is becoming aware of everything around us and in us simultaneously. Woke is being aware of injustice, being aware of the terrible things that go on in the world, and then doing something about it. Here's an example, not only, with the issues around anti-oppression, anti-racism in this country. People who are woke include millennials, who are doing this as a lifestyle decision, not to purchase cars, not to buy homes, not even to get driver's licenses. They are saying, I am not going to follow that path. I'm going to take a path of profound simplicity. This is particularly true, by the way, in cities. The current worldwide climate crisis movements, including Fridays for Future, the Sunrise Movement, and Extinction Rebellion, are all understood in one way as awakening to the crisis in front of us, but they're also understood as woke, as not just facing the crisis, but doing something about it actively. They are an intervention to our collective addiction to materialism. They are responses to injustice and selfishness. They are saying, no more. And of course, in the American Black community, the same thing is happening, but it's not far away, it's right in front of us. In that case, the dangers are far more tangible and present every single day. Police stops, accusations that Black people who are loitering in coffee shops or suspicious people walking through a white neighborhood are suspicious and they should not be there. These happen every day all over this country. So woke is an adjective of attention and alertness and determination. It calls us to change the world right now by our collective actions. Awaken is also an intention, but it's again a more gradual, softer process to be present in the world. Oftentimes, meditation or prayer or being in a place of absolute silence will evoke that place of awakening to, I'm more aware of where I am in the world. And there's no other way to really describe it easily. I wanted to say a few words about Unitarian Universalism, because after all, we are in a Unitarian Universalist community, and we are being affected today by wokeness and awakening. The Unitarian Universalist movement right now is in a revolution. That is the only way to describe it. Until recently, say the last decade, the main focus of the Unitarian Universalist Association was around humanism, congregational growth, money, and not rocking the institutional boat too much. The racial justice work in the UUA was seemingly mostly praising our past activities and not paying too much attention to the present. Now, that didn't mean we weren't doing anything. The work for LGBTQ rights and the trans community were already underway. But that was our focus, along with more women coming into ministry. But then something happened. Most of the upper level staff in UUA were white males who happened to be ordained ministers, including the presidents of the UUA. Several years ago, in, I think it was 2016, the southern region, so Liuyue is divided into a number of large regions, they had an applications for a regional lead staff person, the person who was going to be in charge of that region. The last two candidates were a white male and a woman of color. Guess who was offered the job? The white male. Even though the woman of color had all the similar qualifications and skills for the job. She was told, you're not a good fit. Thank you for your application. She went back to Black Lives UU and said what had happened. Let's just say everything blew up. The woman had taken her story to Black Lives UU, and they in turn said, we're not going to take this anymore. They protested vigorously. They woke. The person who was the white male who had been given a job withdrew his application. A number of senior staff in UUA who happened to be white males and ordained ministers were invited to resign, and they did. Others were forced into retirement. The UUA president at the time, Reverend Peter Morales, who happened to be Hispanic, resigned under pressure. In October of 2016, the UUA Board of Trustees agreed to provide $300,000 immediately to the Black Lives UU organization, and they committed to guaranteeing Blue another $5 million in long-term funding for its efforts to support Black Unitarian Universalists and to expand the role and visibility of Black UUs within the faith. Did you know about this? Okay. In turn, what has happened since then is that Black Lives UU community has initiated radical changes in the UUA to focus on what has been called anti-racism, anti-oppression, multicultural communities since 2016. It is a bold and audacious experiment to steer an American religious movement to become a multicultural interfaith organization literally overnight. Is this a form of wokeness? Yeah, I'd say so. It's certainly a response to many injustices in our association over many years. It's also been called awakening to our collective true purpose, to use our principles as well as the sources in a way that is equality and truly is the inherent worth and dignity of every person, and meaning it and doing it. So awakening and being woke isn't limited to social justice. It carries much more with it. On February 9th, my colleague, Reverend Elizabeth Mount, will speak here. They're the minister at the Indiana, Pennsylvania congregation. Elizabeth uses the pronouns they, them, there. And this is the blurb for the service that they sent. And I hope this is going to spark some interest for you. They said, today's sexuality and gender landscape is becoming more complex, with more words and pronouns in common usage than there used to be. It can be sometimes confusing. And yet we as Unitarian Universalists know that our principles call us to be respectful. Join us, they said, to explore what we can do to affirm and promote the inherent worth and dignity of all people. And I asked Elizabeth to be here because I think that they can speak more powerfully to the trans experience within Unitarian Universalism than ever I could because I'm not in that community. So I hope that we will be here on February 9th to hear that. We're also part of that larger conversation, you and I and the Meadville Church, that larger conversation that Angel Kyoto Williams talks about in the reading, because we are no longer a traditional Christian nation as we were in the 1950s and 60s when Dr. King was active. We do include Christian and Jewish faiths in this room. We can include, if we try, to include the spiritual but not religious. And we can include and welcome those who are not religious at all. This is a time of revolution, not just in the UUA, but in the whole world. This is love growing up. And to paraphrase an old movie, and we're the ones to do it. So let's take a few moments of quiet to reflect on the reading. I'm going to read it one more time. And think about what Angel Kyoto Williams may be saying to us as a guide, as a direction, as a moving forward away from the injustices that we see and hear and do. We're not in a Martin Luther King world anymore. We're not an overwhelmingly Christian nation anymore. We need the spiritual but not religious. We need the not religious. We need them all to be in this conversation. And I don't think the Christians and Jews can do that on their own any longer. Consider who she might be talking about who can do it.